I've entitled today's message, Reject the Temptation to Worry. Reject the temptation to worry. Some people just love to worry. It's the only thing they've got in life that keeps them going. Something to worry about. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to be anxious for nothing.
That's right.
But in everything, give thanks.
That's right.
The Bible tells us 365 times, fear not.
Yeah.
And fear causes worry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And worry is a temptation to distract you and me from God.
Yeah.
It wants to distract you and draw you away from peace. Yeah? The moment that you start worrying, you're no longer in peace, are you?
No.
You're in pieces, aye?
Yeah.
God only wants you in one piece.
He does.
He wants you to be whole.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
And worry does not cause you to be whole.
No.
It causes you to have a breakdown. If you're not careful, if you continue in that pathway of worry, it will bring you to a point of breakdown.
Yeah.
It will break you into pieces.
Yeah.
And that's why the Lord told us to be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
That's why the Word encourages us to put our trust in God.
Amen.
And when we trust Him, and no matter what comes to us, and it will.
Yeah.
Oh, be assured of that.
Yeah.
That it will come to us. But what are you going to do about it?
Amen.
The Bible says, cast all your cares, your worries, your anxieties, your stress.
Yeah.
Cast them all on God. Because He cares for you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
He's concerned for each and every one of us right now. He knows what we're facing now.
Yeah.
He knows what we're going to face tomorrow.
He knows.
And He has already made provision for the now, and He's already made provision for tomorrow.
Yes.
Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
But we have a responsibility to act with God and the Word of God.
Yeah.
Just doesn't happen on its own. We have to flow with, we have to go with, and we have to use the Word of God in our lives. We have to captivate our own thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ephesians says, is it Ephesians, taking every thought? No, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 3. For we walk in the flesh. We do. But we are flesh. We are but dust. But we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. There's a difference. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Starts with imagination, doesn't it? Worry is always an imagination. What might happen?
Yeah.
This might... The news. This might happen. Hasn't. But now it's as if it has.
Yeah.
And they create fear. They create worry. Live in a society where there are many people on medication for drugs, for fear of anxiety and stress and all these other things.
Yeah.
I've got an answer to all that. It's called the Word of God.
Amen.
It's called a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we spend time in His Word, And let that word begin to work on us. It brings us a security.
Yeah.
It brings a peace.
Yeah.
See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And the moment that you allow Jesus to begin to be Lord of your life, He brings with Him one of the most important things. He brings with Him peace.
Yeah.
Peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with
you."
Yeah. Not somebody else. Not leaving it with God. He says, "My peace I leave with you."
Yeah.
Even when Jesus had to face the cross, He was at peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
"Nevertheless, Father, if it be your will, so be it." He was at peace. Now, I'm sure you or I would have thought we'd have had a strong argument with God. And we'd have said, "You know, I'm sure there's got to be a better way. You know, why don't you try so-and-so down the road and see if they'll volunteer? You know, why pick on me?" But Jesus said no. He asked the question. "If it be your will, you can take this cup from me. But if not, so be it. I'll go through this."
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you." He's always there. I don't care. No, don't get me wrong when I say this. I don't care what you're going through with the cat, right? And you heard what Grace said about our cat. Because God created all things, right?
Yeah.
And He's a God that can deal with all of these things.
He can, yeah.
He made them, He knows how to fix them.
He does.
But when you see, when we invite children to Sunday school and we talk to them and they'll come and they'll say, "Oh, you know, my pet's not well." And in Sunday school we would always say, "Oh, we'll pray for your pets, we'll pray for your animals." And then when you get older, we say to people, "Don't be so daft. It's only an animal." "Oh, it's not. It's part of God's creation."
Amen.
Why should we change it when we get older? The Bible tells us, "Come as little children." Come to God. Come to Jesus as little children. Whatever your worry is, whatever your care is, whatever your anxiety is, bring them to the foot of the cross and leave them there.
Amen.
And don't have a string, piece of string attached to it.
No.
So that, you know, later on you're dragging it back with you. You know? You're still dragging it along. Leave it. Cut yourself off.
Yeah.
Cut yourself off.
Amen.
From your worries, your cares, and your anxieties. Oh, I know you might say, "Well, it's easier said than done." I know it is. I've been there. Face the challenges every day. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to worry.
Yeah?
But you also have another opportunity to choose whether you will worry or whether you will cast your care on God. We have to cast our care on the Lord. Verse 5 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. "Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." You see, worry will begin to exalt itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
It will come to you and it will stand before you like a towering giant and say, "God does not exist. You need to worry. Because I'm here." The word says, cast it down. Speak the word of God into that situation.
Yeah.
Speak the word of God into those circumstances. And watch the word of God cast down every imagination. You see, worry is an imagination.
Yeah.
It's not happened. Yeah. But you're worrying in case it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's an imagination.
Yeah.
What if this happens to? And what if that happens to me? The Bible tells you, get hold of it. Paul often, I think Paul used to like to watch wrestling. Remember them days? Tag teams. When they wrestled properly, not like what they've got today. You know, proper wrestling. You remember, Edwin? You used to watch it. Saturday afternoon wrestling. Eh? McManus, was it? And there they used to be wrestling, and, you know. Paul used to love to watch wrestling. You can tell when you start reading part of Scripture. Cast down. Wrestle the thing down to the floor. Cast it down.
Amen.
Throw it down.
Yeah.
Getting excited. Getting excited, I've just... Cast it down. Throw it to the ground. Pin it down.
Amen.
You know? Get it in a full Nelson.
Yeah.
Eh? Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Pin its shoulders to the canvas and make it count to three and count the thing out.
Amen.
Cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Bring it into obedience. Cause it to submit.
Yeah.
In wrestling, what was it? Two submissions and they were out. Well, get hold of that thought, get hold of that worry, and get it into two submissions. It's out.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And you've won. Amen?
Yes.
Pin it down.
Yeah.
Stop its action.
Yeah.
Hold it in its place.
Yeah.
Where is the devil?
Under
your feet, it says the word. Keep him there.
I will.
Keep him there.
Yeah.
Be determined that he's not going to get up with another thought, with another imagination. You keep him there and say, this is what the word of God says.
It is written.
His eye is continually upon me, and no matter what comes against me. You see, just because you're a Christian, that does not mean you're immune to any bad things. Some churches preach that. Come to Jesus and everything will be wonderful. I don't know where they got that from. It'll be wonderful in the end time.
Amen.
When we spend eternity with him. But in the meantime, coming to Jesus just made you an enemy of the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prior to that, you were his friend.
Yeah.
You were his mouthpiece.
Yeah.
You were his workpiece. He used you. You were his tool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And suddenly you've given him notice. You ain't using me no more.
No.
You ain't using me for your work anymore.
Mm.
You are not going to use my mouth to bring profanity against somebody.
Yeah.
You're not going to use me in any way like that anymore.
Yeah.
You think he's happy?
No.
Did you think he's there saying, oh, that's okay, that's fine, that's wonderful? You know? No, he's saying, I'll have you. I'll have you back.
No.
I'll pull you down. His intention is to bring you to a point of submission. But the word of God says you and I are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So if we're more than a conqueror, we're going to bring him down to a submission.
Yeah.
We're going to bring him into that place where he has to quit and what he does to us.
Amen.
Bringing it down. Pulling it down and holding. Let's turn to Second Timothy, the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. Second book of Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 26. King James says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The Amplified says, and that they may come to their senses. Have you come to your senses yet?
Yes.
I said, have you come to your senses yet?
Yes.
Well, when you come to your senses, it says, and come to your senses and escape out of the snare of the devil.
Amen.
What does that tell me? It tells me he has no power.
Amen.
It's just a little bit of a trap.
Amen.
You're smarter than him.
Amen.
When you spend time in the Word, you are smarter than the devil.
Yeah.
And so when you get ensnared by a trap from him, the Bible says just get yourself out of it. Get yourself out of it. Oh, but I can't. He's got me trapped. What am I going to do? Shut up whining. Take the Word of God. Use it like a sword. And cut your way out of the thing. God has given you the ability. Not just giving it to the pastor or to the pastor's wife or to the elders. He's given each and every one of us the ability to get out of these snares.
Amen.
It's in this book.
Yeah.
The Word of God. All the answers are there.
Yeah.
All you've got to do is start reading and believing.
Amen.
I didn't say try and understand it. Because if you think you can understand God, then you are wrong. You are wrong. As we were talking, I think, the other night, how God used Gideon, the least. You and me would have looked and said, okay, who's the biggest lad? Who's the brightest lad? Who's the strongest? Who's the leader? Grab them. Because they will deliver us. And God picks the weakest, shyest, the runt, and says, you're just the man I'm looking for. You're brilliant, you are. Thou mighty man of God. I remember years ago we had a holiday club for kids many years ago. Over 100 children in. And I found some 35 millimeter slides with a tape that ran along and told the story. It was animated and it showed this picture of Gideon hiding away, threshing corn. And all of a sudden this big angel arrives and appears out of nowhere and says, thou mighty man of God. You know, I mean, Gideon's hiding. He's somewhere well out of sight. He's threshing corn on a wine press. You know why? Because he thinks nobody will look for me in a wine press. Because it's not the season for pressing grapes. So nobody will come looking for me. They'll think all this place is deserted. Yeah? God knows where you are. Even when you think the place is deserted. God knows where you're hiding. When you think nobody else knows. He's hiding out of fear. He's worried.
Yeah.
He's worried that the enemy, the Midianites, will steal his grain. He's worried he's not going to be able to eat. So he's hiding. He's doing it very quietly. And you get this big angel arrive with big, loud voice, which is just what you need when you're trying to keep things secret. Yeah? And he comes from behind. Have you ever been surprised by anybody?
Yeah.
Jump. I remember one night we came home one late from a camp, having done a collection, and we were to bring things back to the warehouse. I arrived at the warehouse, it was pitch black. Close to midnight. The gates were locked. Unlocked the gates and went through. There was nobody around. And I left the van lights on and I went to unlock the door. And as I'm unlocking the door, this voice says to me, calls out, says, "Hey, oh, oh God, I lifted about 6 inches off ground. You know, I was absolutely scared out of my skin. I'd just come through a locked gate. There was nobody around." Well, when I turned round, I went for this person like you've never seen anybody go for anybody before. I hope if the devil ever tries to jump on me, I'll turn around and do exactly the same to him. I was about to kill him. I was ready. I told him where he'd better leave, and he'd better leave now. I was not impressed by being surprised at that point in time. We need to do the same thing with the devil. So I can just imagine Gideon, there he is hiding away threshing corn, and then all of a sudden this angel turns up and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what I mean? He's like, "What the earth? Where did you come from?" You know what I mean? The guy's heart's in his mouth. He's nearly had a heart attack. His breath is just about taken away and he's trembling. And he said, "Mighty man of Allah." His knees are knocking. You know, he's terrified. "How did you find me?" God knows exactly where you are. Can't hide from God. God calls this servant, weakest, the one with the least amount of talents, the one with the least abilities, the one that nobody thinks anything about, everybody ignores him. And God says, "That's my man." Probably one or two angels said, "But God, have you seen him? It's not right good, really, you know. One of his brothers is a bit better out corner." God says, "He's my man." Because when God moved in Gideon's life, God was going to take all the glory. And when they fought that battle against the Midianites, they didn't fight. They just stood around. Blew a trumpet, smashed an earthen vessel, and the light shone out, and they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." See, God comes first. God always comes first. Sword of the Lord and of Gideon. He didn't lift a sword to him. They destroyed themselves in absolute panic. They spent the next 3 days picking up all the spoils. God brought destruction. Gideon was tempted to worry. He'd got 30,000 men. He wasn't worried then. He says, "Oh, we'll wipe the floor with them." But he said, "Just you wait. We'll show them." And then God says to him, "You've got too many. Hey? You're joking, aren't you? Is anybody else there?" You know, that's what we'd have said. "Is there anybody else there that can have a second opinion? Take some to the water to drink." Some just stick their head in the water and drink like that. Others lap with their hands and are watching. And God says, "Those that lifted the water to the mouths, keep them." Wow. And he's thinking, "How many have we got left?" 300. Oh, dear me. What happened? Here he is with this little band of men. No weapons. And we're going to fight an army. Oh, and by the way, we're terrified of this army. But when God comes in, I don't care how big the enemy is, God's man is always bigger.
Amen.
Spiritually. David and Goliath. God's man is always spiritually bigger. It's not about how big you are physically. How big are you spiritually?
Amen.
You see, worry wants to stop you growing. Worry is like a drought. It draws away the nutrients from your life. It stops you growing. It stops you developing. It steals that which is good in the Word of God from you and prevents you from growing. Take every thought captive. Bring it into the subjection to the Word of God. Speak the Word of God in power. Speak the Word of God and believe it. See the Word of God change the circumstances. See the Word of God change the situation. And stop the devil straight in his tracks. We have an enemy. And it's the devil. But we have the power over the devil. The Bible tells us, Jesus said in Matthew to his disciples 16 and 18, "I give you all power and all authority. I give you the keys of the kingdom."
Amen.
Take the authority that God has given to each and every one of us and use that to the glory of God.
Amen.
Use that in your own life that will set you free from the temptation to worry.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this, every one of us will be tempted to worry. What if this happens to so-and-so? What if this is going to happen? What if that happens? What am I going to do? The only thing you can do, the only thing that I know that is certain and secure, is trust God.
Yeah.
Trust God.
Amen.
Don't trust man. Trust God. He never makes a mistake. Men do. But God never makes a mistake. Never makes a mistake. And God is interested in eternity, not in just the now.
Yes.
We worry about the now and we forget about tomorrow. We forget about the eternity that goes on before us. We're worrying about small things. We need to trust God. And as we trust God, we shall see the hand of God moving. Because we've not allowed fear to take us captive. You see, fear will paralyze you. Well, that's true. You can birth whatever you have fear of. Fear is like pulling a rabbit in the headlights of a car. It just stands there. And even if the car's racing towards it, it just stands there. And if the driver doesn't brake, guess what? It's rabbit stew tomorrow. It's true. Say, like a deer, it's caught in the headlights of a car, it just freezes. Don't know what to do. Just what the devil seeks to do to Christians. He wants to freeze you with fear. Freeze you with fear. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we need to focus on Jesus. We need to focus on the Word. When fear starts to rise up and tries to be the conqueror, we use the Word of God. We use the name of Jesus. And we cast down that imagination of fear because it is just an imagination.
It is.
How many of us at times have been afraid of something, that something is going to happen, and then when tomorrow comes, it didn't. And that's just in the natural. So you wasted energy worrying. You gave yourselves grey hair. You increased the possibility of a heart attack. Quit worrying. Trust God. See, the devil's going to accuse you. Let him accuse you. Just simply say to him, well, tell you what, let's you and I go and talk to God. Let's you and I go talk to God. We'll see what God's got to say on this matter. It'll not be long before he says, I'll come back to you on that one. Don't bother. All right, devil, don't bother. You know, we paint the devil as being such a big thing. Can't describe it. Big thing. A big power. The Bible says greater is he that is in you, that is Jesus, than him that's in the world, the devil. You're bigger than him. That's right. You estimate him as being big and you give him the authority to be big and he acts big. But it's your fear, it's your worry that has brought you to that point. Or brought him to that point. The devil tries to work through that. You can be carefree. You can be carefree. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Amplified says this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, by definite requests. Yeah. Be specific. By definite requests. And with thanksgiving. Yeah. Continue to make your wants known to God. Not to somebody else. Make them known to God. Because you see, He's the only one who's got the answers. He's the only one who can deal with your needs. David Cameron and all his sidekicks, they can't. Europe can't. But God can. God can. Thank God this is not the end.
Amen.
Where we're at now. This is the beginning of life eternal in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What is being said here to the church is face the facts. Don't just dispel them and think, oh, it's be all right. Face them. Face the facts. And then take authority over them. By ignoring them, that doesn't help you to stand strong. Face them. Face the facts and say, you said what, devil, to me? Oh, well, let me tell you, this is what the Word of God says in this circumstance, in this situation. Face them. Declare the Word of God into that circumstance, into that situation, over that worry, over that anxiety, and let the Word of God begin to do that work.
Amen.
Drive the enemy from your borders.
Yeah.
Drive him out of the land.
Yeah.
You have the ability to set yourself free.
Amen.
God has given you the ability with the Word of God to set yourself free.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Yeah. Anxiety and worry will come along and will steal your peace. Yeah. You lose sleep.
Yeah.
In the morning you don't feel good.
No.
You don't feel good for the next day.
No.
That night he came in and he stole from you. When you should have taken the Word of God and said, look, this is what the Word says. I'm going to stand against you. And you're not having my goods.
Amen.
You're not stealing anymore.
Amen.
From me.
No.
Amen?
Amen.
He'll steal your joy. Worry steals your joy. The Bible tells me the joy of the Lord is your strength. When he says, I'm going to steal your joy, so you'll have no strength to resist me. Are you going to let him steal your joy? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. And we need to realize that. These things are so connected to one another. We need, in the name of Jesus, to take control. Because he has made you more than a conqueror.
Amen.
You're ruling and reigning, the Bible says, with him. You're ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That means you should, and we should, and I should be in control.
Amen.
Of the circumstances that the enemy comes against us and says, oh, this is going to happen. Is it? Well, that's okay. Because if a storm blows up, guess what? Jesus is with me in the boat.
Yeah.
And do you know what Jesus will say to the storm? Peace. Be still. Come on. We may have to go through some storms for a little while. But Jesus is always there. Ride the storm.
Yeah.
Going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Going to enjoy this. Sleep through it.
Amen.
Jesus was sleeping through it till the disciples, till the worry warts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Till the 12 worry warts came along and said, oh, wake him up, wake him up, wake him up, we're drowning. They declared, "We are going to drown and die." Jesus had made a proclamation before them and said, "Come, let us go to the other side." He didn't say, "Come, let me go to the other side." He said, "Let us go to the other side." He's not leaving you behind. I said he's not leaving you behind. Are you leaving him?
No.
Are you going with him?
Yes.
Come on then, let's go with him.
Amen.
See, this worry wants to bring destruction to your life. Wants to stop you in your tracks. Wants to stop you moving on in God. Wants to stop you from worshipping. When you start worrying, you stop worshipping. You stop singing. Can't sing because I'm worried. Can't praise God because I'm worried. We need to learn to worship and not worry. Because if we worry, we can't worship. That's right. And the moment you begin to worship, worry from the devil will just begin to flee from us.
Yeah.
Worship is so important that we learn to worship God in all that He said and has done for us in our lives. And as we worship Him, we shall see God moving in a tremendous way. We give God the opportunity to deal with fears, to deal with anxiety, to deal with stress. God has a plan for you to live a long life.
Amen.
Is that right, Bill? Bible says, with long life shall I satisfy you. Are you satisfied yet?
No.
If you are, well, that's it. I want more. I'm not fully satisfied. There's more to be had from God. Word says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And He is, but when you've tasted something good, you think, "Oh, I could just do with some more of that, couldn't you? Eh? Eh? Ooh, it tasted lovely. I'll have some more of that, eh?" Ooh. Well, don't look at me like that, as if you're not. Excuse me. That air of innocence. You partake of something good and you think, "Oh, I just could do it. I'll have another piece of that." Ooh, eh? Glory to Jesus. You want more, don't you? In the natural. Well, when you've tasted of God in the spiritual, it's so good, you want more of Him.
Amen.
Oh God, give me more. I know. Double portions, eh? Hallelujah. Give me more. Give me more. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, I'm not satisfied yet. No. I'm not satisfied yet. And God says, "Good, because I've got more for you. Because I've not finished with you yet."
Amen.
Hallelujah. How long have we been going? Have we? Hold on, I'm going to preach a short message today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Ah, you see, you thought you were going to get 33, didn't you? Ah, yeah, you're all ready for it, weren't you? Matthew 6 and verse 25. The Amplified says, "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious and worried about your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on it. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far more, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? What is he trying to say? What is life? What is life? Many people will say to you, well, it's about things, isn't it? It's about what we've got now and what we can feel. But it's not. The life that Jesus is speaking of is the life in the realm of the Spirit. That's life. So why worry? Because when you have life in the Spirit, all these other things will be taken care of. You will not have to worry. You see, Jesus is really referring in one sense to when the children of Israel went through the wilderness. And the Spirit of God led them with a cloud of fire by night and a cloud by day. And God led them by His Spirit. When they'd got the Spirit, there's nothing to worry about. But then some of them got worried. Some of them took their eyes off God and got anxious and said, I want some meat. And God had to deal with them. God made provision for them all along the way. Word tells us they never lacked for water. It's a desert. Water is scarce. 2 to 3 million peoples and their flocks all drank water every day. Fresh water. God was always there for them. It was a spiritual, it was a supernatural provision from God. You see, our physical wellness does not come from things. You would think today when you watch TV adverts and when you listen to the people in the world out there who don't know God, they will tell you that their well-being comes from having things. Let me tell you this. Most of the time, the thing has you. How many of us have got cars? Right? Put your hands down. How many of you have had your car break down? Yeah. Eh? The thing has got you. How many have had to have it repainted and the rust work done on it? How many have had to buy tyres for it? The thing has got you. Hasn't it? It takes your money from you. How many of you had to buy a new microwave or a new washing machine or a new vacuum cleaner? I'm not saying we don't need these things, don't get me wrong, but you know, we always talk, you know, people talk about what they've got. No, the thing has got you actually. The advertising system's got you. That's why there are so many adverts on TV. It's got you. Try and record everything so I can fast forward and miss all the adverts out. More adverts than programs now. Why? Because they've got you. Drawing you in. But they're getting you to believe that you need that thing because then you've got everything you need. But the thing has got you. Where do we get verse 25? Verse 26 says, behold the fowls of the air, they neither sow, they neither reap, They don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not much better than they? Question, Jesus says. Who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure to his stature or to the span of his life? Can you? He just shortens it. So why worry? It ain't going to add to you. Worry is a subtraction. Have I yet convinced you to begin to attack worry?
Yeah.
Take the sword of the Spirit. Cut it down.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the theme of the meeting before I got up to preach was on this realm, and I thought, okay, God, just go with it. When you put Jesus first, when you give Jesus the preeminence in your life, and all these other things will be sorted. But the devil doesn't want you to put Jesus first. He wants you to be, you know, having worry about this and worry about that, be concerned about this one and then concerned about this situation. Whilst you're meddling in all those things, forgive me, but that's what we do, we're not spending time with God, are we? We are distracted by the things of this earth. When you are eternal beings, and we're distracted by the things of this earth. Verse 28 says, why should you be anxious, Jesus says, about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon, in all his magnificence, excellence and dignity and grace, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Even with little faith, he'll still do it. Verse 31, therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we to have to eat? Or what are we to have to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathens, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows. He knows well what you need. But seek, aim at and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness. See, I knew I'd get it in somewhere. His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. Don't worry, he says, or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Don't start worrying about tomorrow. You and I have not arrived there. and quit worrying about today.
Amen.
Give today to God. When you rise tomorrow morning, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it.
Amen.
Amen. And as you rejoice and as you are glad in it, then the power of God comes upon you. The joy of the Lord will be your strength, and it will carry you through that day until the evening time, where you can lay down and rest and praise God for a good day and praise God for the victories in the kingdom, and that every worry and every care, you gave it to Him that morning. And He took them and He dealt with them. When you are holding them, He cannot. But when you give them to Him, He can. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. That applies to every day, darling. Whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday. Saturday, Sunday. Whatever day it is. Give it all to God. Every day is the same day. They've just got different names. But every day in God is in the kingdom of God. In the life of God. In the joy of God, in the peace of God, and in the freedom of God. So let's rejoice and reject the temptation to worry. So tomorrow morning, first thing you do is reject the temptation to worry, and from that point, you move on and begin to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, this day I have nothing to worry about. I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to be fearful of. I can rejoice and praise the Lord, for He is good and His mercies endure forever. And I will give Him praise and give Him all the glory, for He alone is worthy. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May you have a great week in the kingdom of God. Amen.